Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Guardian of Shadows by Michelle Manis, narrated by Desiree Ketchum. 1. The 6 silver spheres atop their posts, one for each point on the hexagon that filled the center of the arrival room, spun with dizzying speed, and a bone-deep thrumming echoed throughout Earth's way station. Nix Fortuna, the guardian of that station, took her place atop the barstool behind a podium just as a figure emerged from the cosmic floor between those posts. The new arrival shook off the lay dust of travel, revealing itself to be an Uthura, a lion-sized winged feline race from planet Kalkella. The Uthura cocked one ear and listened to the recording Nix had made her very first day accepting arrivals. The recording instructed arriving travelers to wait behind the line starts here sign until motioned forward, and to help themselves to refreshments. Nix had experimented with a wide array of said refreshments, but her initial choice of cookies had proved to be the most popular across species, and she decided not to mess with a good thing. The Uthura snagged a chocolate chip cookie from the waiting platter. Nix still hadn't quite gotten used to seeing opposable thumbs on a feline-based species, and trotted up to the podium when Nix signaled them forward. The black dorsal stripe running down the Uthura's back marked it as a female, and she smiled shyly as she pulled her travel papers out of the little pack strapped to her back. Nix took down the Uthura's information, noting name, species, and home planet. "How long will you be staying on Earth?" The Uthura let out a series of vowels and hisses that Earth Between's translator spells allowed Nix to understand as 2 weeks. "Is this your first visit to Earth?" Growl, yelp. "Yes." "You know the rules about hunting. Not allowed unless it's on one of the 3 registered game preserves or if you venture into dead Earth proper. There were far too many sapient avian and small mammalian species across the galaxy that were appealing to predator species like the Uthura to allow the latter free-range hunting rights. After a close call in her 2nd week, Nix had started putting extra emphasis on the no-hunting clause. While she had learned that Earth Between did have its own version of a police force, who would be responsible for determining guilt and possible punishment in such a case, she didn't want to be responsible for anyone's death. Besides which, after the aforementioned close call, one of Earth Between's investigators had paid Nix a visit to sternly remind her that she had a responsibility to stress to travelers the importance of following local laws. If it had occurred to Nix that it was somewhat odd that Earth Between had an investigative task force, and yet she was the one the council had assigned to find Morgan when he'd illegally come through her station, she hadn't quite had the nerve to ask the stern-faced investigator why that had been the case. Said investigator had been thoroughly unimpressed by Nix, to all appearances, and had continually made references to how such things as the near-death of sapient avians simply had not happened under the previous guardian's reign. Nix had taken her scolding to heart and tried to improve. The Uthura before Nix furiously nodded her understanding of the rules, even while her tail twitched in excitement at the mere mention of a hunt. Nix handed her one of the visitor's guides she'd put together with the help of Earth Between's business owners and residents. "This lists all of the lodging and restaurants in the area, along with the locations of the gaming preserves and other recreational activities. Planet-specific laws are listed in the back. Please feel free to inquire here if you have any issues or further questions." With an adorable purr-rumble of assent, the Uthura took the pamphlet and followed the yellow brick road out of the arrival room. The road had originally been a joke, but Nix had ended up keeping it because absolutely no one understood the joke but her, and for some reason she liked that. She tried explaining it to her resident band of fugitive aliens, but while they'd grasped the plot of The Wizard of Oz just fine, they'd failed to understand why having a yellow brick road in her station and telling people to follow it was amusing. Thinking of said fugitives, her gaze went to the east wall, where 3 of their likenesses hung on 4-foot-wide floor-to-ceiling posters emblazoned with the word WANTED in all capital letters, and the all-council seal in the bottom left-hand corner. It was eerie to have Morgan's, Caden's, and Maruka's faces staring at her while she checked in arriving travelers. But since they were hanging in every way station on every way planet in the connected universe, it would undoubtedly raise questions if she took them down without being ordered to. Especially since the All Council already suspected she had something to do with the three's escape from the Arcadian prison planet. They were right, of course, but she wasn't interested in proving it for them. Her next traveler, a tall, dark-skinned male with the wispy feathers growing alongside his hair that marked him as Kyrian, the same species as the Between's very own warlock, noticed her staring at the posters.
"They still haven't caught them yet."
"Not that I've heard," she answered, beckoning him forward and taking his papers.
"You must get nervous, running a station all alone with fugitives on the loose."
Nix continued writing down his information, and really, really hoped he wasn't hitting on her. She discovered in her last few weeks on the job that many people across many species apparently thought it would be cool to sleep with a station guardian if their species were sexually compatible. "Not really," she replied flippantly, since those wanted fugitives all resided in her station, and she knew exactly where each of them was at every moment of the day, whether she wanted to or not. There was no need to be nervous.
"So do you run it alone, then?"
Nix groaned internally, finished taking down his information, and handed his papers back to him alongside a visitor's guide. She forewent her customary smile. "Enjoy your stay on Earth."
"Say, I was wondering if..."
"No." The word had been on the tip of Nix's tongue, but it was Evra who uttered it. Tall and exceptionally well-muscled, with bronze skin and blonde hair plaited down her back, Nix's Amazonian assistant and newly minted best friend always made a statement when she walked into a room. That statement usually translated to some version of "fuck off." In case anyone missed that message, the excessive number of blades strapped to various parts of her person tended to get it across. The Carrion looked from Evra to Nix, muttered,
"Figures,"
and walked on. Evra clutched a bouquet of white flowers, fingers curled so tightly around the stems it was a wonder she hadn't sheared them in half. She stalked to the podium and thrust the flowers at Nix. Several members of the growing crowd of travelers let out dreamy sighs and general awe noises as they, unable to see Evra's glowering expression, clearly thought this was a romantic gesture. Nix took the flowers. "Evra, really, you shouldn't have." Evra leaned over the podium.
"Morgan left them outside my door," she hissed, "where anyone could see them."
"You did tell me to make sure he couldn't get into your room anymore."
"Because I thought he would stop leaving things then."
Nix stuck her nose in the flowers and sniffed. They smelled divine, like honey, jasmine, and sweet almond had decided to have a collective love child. They definitely weren't dead Earth native, and she made a mental note to find out where Morgan had gotten them. "They smell amazing. I will, of course, treasure them forever." Softer, she added, "I'm about to have a riot on my hands if I don't start checking people through. If you really want him to stop, tell him to."
"I tell him to stop all the time." "No, you grumble at him. It's not quite the same thing. Now off you go. I have work to do."
Nix made shooing motions at Evra, who stalked out of the room like a Valkyrie set on vengeance. Nix did hope Morgan would be mostly intact the next time she saw him. She'd grown rather fond of him. Romantic gestures only got one so far in the customer service industry, and travelers were indeed starting to get grumpy. She waved the next in line forward and resumed her task of inspecting documents, logging information, and smiling. So much smiling. All things considered, she liked her job. Even so, she was always glad when she got to stop smiling for the day. When she'd taken down the last traveler's information, she tore the log page from its clipboard and dropped it. It floated to the ground and vanished, on its way to the archive section of the way station's den. Nix stood and stretched, and activating the locking wards Grift had helped her install on the arrival room, made her way towards that den. She stopped off in the station's little cafe to make herself a latte. At least, that had been her intention. But Calvar, decked out in a black barista's apron, refused to let her do it herself.
At 17, Kalvar was the oldest of the youths Caden had protected on Arcadia, and he'd carved out a niche for himself at the station, running the bookstore and the coffee bar. Technically, it probably should have been Evra's job, as she was the station's official assistant, but the Amazon was ill-suited to domestic tasks of any kind, and Nyx didn't let her touch the espresso machine for fear she would destroy it. Plus, it seemed to keep Kalvar busy. Nyx didn't know much about his past, just that he'd ended up in the hands of slavers and sold as a trading commodity to a prisoner inbound to Arcadia who could afford the black market luxury, and she hadn't wanted to bring up bad memories simply to satisfy her own curiosity. Already, he barely slept. He hid it well. His peppy facade made possible by a constant supply of free caffeine, and he threw himself into his chosen work at the station in an effort to pretend everything was fine. If she hadn't had to bond herself to the station they all lived in, and therefore become privy to everything that happened within its walls, she might have bought his doe-eyed everything-is-fine act. Since she was bound to that station, and hadn't yet picked up Griff's ability to tune out the goings-on inside it, every time one of her residents woke up in the middle of the night screaming from nightmares, she woke up too. Since four out of her six guests had spent significant time on a prison planet, they woke up screaming a lot. It was making Nyx sleep-deprived and snappish. She tried to convince Kalvar, at least, to talk to someone about it. Nyx knew Toby and Laurelin, two of the other children who'd escaped from Arcadia, were getting professional help. She checked in regularly with their adoptive mothers, on Kira and Diana, who'd told her both of the kids were seeing a healer who specialized in emotional trauma, and they were slowly starting to respond to the sessions. Kalvar had flat-out refused to go. He insisted nothing was wrong. He was considered an adult by his people's standards, and Nyx wasn't going to take away his agency by trying to force him to go. She just wished he would talk to someone. She suspected the only time he was a fraction of his real self was when he was around Maruka. When he wasn't working, he followed the redhead around like a love-struck puppy. Maruka pretended not to notice, probably because of the 11 or so years she had on him. Kalvar set a cobalt-blue mug down in front of Nyx. A perfect latte art leaf graced the surface of her beverage. He'd gotten pretty good at it, at everything he did, really, in an astonishingly short amount of time, and her heart ached to think of what he could have done, could have accomplished, if his life hadn't taken the turn it had. No, that wasn't fair, and it wasn't what she meant. He could still accomplish whatever he wanted, could still become whoever he wanted. Arcadia hadn't taken that from him. It had just altered the way he would get there, and probably the end result. She just wished, for his sake, that he'd never had to endure any of it in the first place. Kalvar looked at the white flowers she'd placed on the counter.
"You know, flowers only smell sweet because they're dying, right? Like, you are literally smelling their slow decay."
"Ah, teenagers. So many different species, so many similar existential crises of youth. I did, and that slow decay smells wonderful." She stood and scooped up her mug. "I'll be in the den if you need me. And, Kalvar, try to have some fun." He gave her a mocking bow. Clearly, he'd been spending too much time around Morgan. 2. The way station's den was a multi-room vault that housed all of the station's records, along with every magical artifact ever confiscated by any of the station's guardians. Since the station had been around for a few centuries and had been through a number of guardians, all of whom carried the secondary responsibility of relieving those who traveled through the station from other planets of any illicit magical items, the dead didn't suffer from a lack of volume or variety of said items. As such, one might expect time spent in it to be interesting. A week ago, when Nyx first came up with the brilliant idea of creating a thorough inventory of its contents, the array of magical swords, disappearing cloaks, cursed teapots, and various other items had been interesting. Now that she had an inch-thick ledger full of them and was only a quarter of the way through the collection, the sheen of excitement had worn off. She had been all for temporary abandoning the project, but Griff, the station's avatar and very own Griffin, had grumbled that they started the project and might as well finish it. As a result, he had done the bulk of the previous 2 days' work on his own, while Nix detoured into trying to solve a series of questions the rest of the galaxy hadn't been able to answer in the last 30 years. Where did the seemingly endless supply of identical Kumir assassins come from? How did they even exist? And how did they travel undetected throughout the galaxy? The answer to the last one might be able to explain how the Kumir had gotten into this very den, supposedly the most secure room in the entire station, when said station had been shut down to leyline travel. The Harvester of Worlds, as if it remembered that day with fondness, pulsed with a sick flare of warmth against her chest as she entered the den. Nix suppressed a shudder. She didn't precisely regret unleashing the Harvester. If she hadn't, everyone in this station would likely be dead. When they'd fled from Arcadia, they'd been in no condition to tangle with the number of Kumir that had been waiting for them, not when the station itself had been falling down around them. Still, knowing all that didn't quell the queasiness that hit her stomach when she remembered the Kumir's skin dissolving. The organs and tissues beneath laid bare for a moment before they disintegrated and left only skeletons that turned to ash. In the second before they had disappeared entirely, the Harvester had taken, had harvested something from each of them. Something that even now spun and whirred within the confines of the four interlocking spheres that formed the pendant that hung around her neck. In the den's spacious entry room, Griff sat along a wooden table surrounded by objects, his tail thump-thumping on the lacquered wood. It had taken 3 weeks to convince him to return to his normal house cat size instead of remaining in the larger buffalo size he'd grown to during the station's troubles. Nix had gently pointed out that he was the one who'd originally told her how difficult it would be to navigate the station as an extremely large griffin, and he'd grumblingly shrunk back down. Whenever they roamed outdoors, however, he still tended to grow in size. "What do those do?" she asked, approaching the table. He sat in front of a pair of tall black boots, dictating to the inventory book that transcribed everything he said. Griff pushed his spectacles back up his beak and closed the inventory book, pausing the transcription.
"They are boots," he answered casually.
Too casually. Griff did not do casual as a tone. "So what do they do?"
"Nothing."
"Nothing," Nix repeated. There wasn't a single item in the den that did nothing. Even the table Griff sat on did something. It just fortunately didn't do it unless 3 or more people were seated at it for a formal dinner. "So you're telling me there are some previous guardians' attempt at fashion?"
"Perhaps. I simply don't recall."
Nix herself could not be said to be any judge of fashion, but the boots did hold a certain appeal. Actually, they held a lot of appeal. They were sensibly black, sensibly flat-soled, and she even liked the buckles up the sides. "You know, they look kind of nice. Maybe I'll borrow them for a bit."
"No!"
Griff flung his wings protectively around the boots. Odd. He hadn't even objected that much when she'd asked to take the lightning sword out in the middle of a thunderstorm. The perks of sharing a bond with her sentient station were that she could now remove a magical item from her den without it immediately locking the station down. The station didn't particularly like her doing it, as it seemed to have a dragon and its horde kind of relationship with the objects in the den, but it would let her. "Why not?" Nix asked, all pretend innocence. "If they do nothing, it can't be dangerous."
"You are the most difficult guardian I have ever worked with."
"I'll take that as a compliment. Your other guardians must have been so boring." Griff mumbled something she couldn't understand. Nix cupped a hand around her ear. "What's that? I can take the perfectly harmless boots out for a night on the town?"
"They are mercury boots,"
he finally grumbled. "Mercury? Like the metal?" Nix repeated.
"No, not like the metal. They increase speed."
"Seriously? The big secret you're hiding is that the boots make you go fast?"
"You are not borrowing them."
"Fine. I don't like running anyway." It was even true. She went 4 times a week with Evra in the morning out of a principled interest in it perhaps saving her life if said life kept being as interesting as it had been when she first got here. But she didn't particularly enjoy it. None of that changed the fact that a pair of boots that could make her go really, really fast was still really, really tempting. Maybe she would sneak down here later when Griff was distracted and...
"Don't even think about it," Griff snapped his beak. "If I even suspect you're coming after them later, I'll drop them back in the endless trunk."
"You do realize you just told me where to find them?"
"Indeed, but it's the endless trunk. It will take you at least an hour to find them, and by then I will be here."
"You're no fun."
"Have you made any progress on the Kumir?"
Griff asked, pointedly ignoring her statement. "No." Nyx flung herself into a chair. "I've read absolutely everything there is to read on them. The factual stuff only details their confirmed sightings and hits, and the conspiracy theory stuff is too outlandish." She'd read theories that ran the gamut from people claiming the Kumir were an all-council experiment in magical cloning gone wrong, to the belief they were a hallucinogenic experience brought on by a rare microspore floating throughout the universe and didn't actually exist. "I'd like to talk to Beauregard." Morgan's uncle was semi-famous as a paranoid eccentric who thought the Kumir were out to get him. Nyx had met him once, and he'd been a very pleasant, very reasonable individual with a nice castle and what might or might not be considered a small standing army. Since Nyx had led a contingent of Kumir that had been hunting her and Evra right onto his grounds in order to utilize that standing army in their defense, she didn't feel like it was her place to judge whether anyone was paranoid or not. What she trusted Beauregard to be was an expert on Kumir. Unfortunately, he'd booked a ley line departure weeks ago and hadn't yet come back. "Morgan keeps telling me he doesn't know when he's coming back."
"Morgan,"
Morgan said, dropping off the den's entrance ladder 4 rungs up from the ground and landing with barely a whisper of sound.
"Is telling you the truth. I'm his nephew, not his keeper, and Uncle Beau's always been a bit of a free spirit."
Morgan strolled into the room with his usual swagger, which died when he saw the flowers Nyx had set on the table.
"Hey, those were for Evra. I had to order them direct from Caligula, and you would not believe what shipping costs from that planet. Give them back."
Nyx picked up the flowers and took a deep inhale from the petals before saying dreamily, "But she gave them to me. It was a very public, very romantic gesture. How would she feel knowing I gave them to you?" Morgan wilted, so much so that Nyx felt bad for teasing him.
"So she got them and she just got rid of them. What does that woman like? I've tried everything. Weapons, jewelry, flowers. She just throws it all away."
For a fugitive hiding out on what amounted to a backwater planet in the eyes of the universe, Morgan Drawl certainly seemed to have a large amount of disposable income and an easy means of accessing it. Nyx knew each and every item Morgan had gotten Evra, because the Amazon had flung each and every one of them at her with an air that demanded Nyx do something. Nyx might have if she hadn't known damn well Evra was capable of putting an end to all of it herself if she really wanted to. Besides, she knew that Evra had, despite very publicly tossing out the first thing Morgan had brought her, an extremely practical black-bladed tactical knife with a curved hilt and silver embellishments that screamed Evra al Daemon, snuck out after everyone else was asleep to retrieve it and hang it on her wall. Morgan was, apparently, still talking.
"And I'd say she wasn't interested. But sometimes she gives me the most speculative looks, and I would bet the entirety of my romantic career she's thinking about..."
"Something I definitely don't need to hear," Nyx interrupted.
"I guess you're right,"
Morgan said glumly.
"So have you seen her around?"
"Not since she interrupted my morning arrival to angrily shove these at me." Nyx waved the flowers. If Nyx could feel Evra's soles landing rhythmically on her / the station's ground as Evra completed her daily afternoon run through the station's woods, well, that wasn't information she had to divulge, was it? Her altered bond with the station was taking some getting used to. Learning to manipulate its physical layout was proving easier for her than controlling her awareness of it. She could blunt the things she noticed and felt, but she couldn't yet block them out entirely, no matter how much she might want to block some things out. Like, say, the exceptionally attractive blonde ex-enforcer who was currently in the cafe with Kalvar and Maruka. Morgan did not immediately leave to go find Evra. Instead, he looked around the den like he was seeing it for the first time.
"What are you doing down here anyway?"
"Inventory."
"You want some help?"
Nyx stared at him. "You want to do inventory?" He ran a hand over his braids.
"Sure. Why not?"
"Weren't you going to find Evra?"
"What's the point?" Morgan sighed. "I'm beginning to think I've made myself too available. Time to try the withdrawn and moody approach. Stars know it works for some people in this station."
"Excuse me?"
"Oh, please, don't act all innocent. If I have to watch you and Caden sneak longing glances at each other while you think the other one isn't looking one more time, I may gag. Can't you two just fuck already and get it over with?" "Precisely what I have been saying," Griff agreed.
Nyx choked on the sip of latte she'd just taken. "I have never once heard you say the word fuck."
"That is because it is a vulgar word. It is the sentiment of the statement I agree with. Tensions are running far too high and something must be done."
Nyx settled her coffee cup back on its saucer with a soft clink and tented her fingers against her forehead. "Just so I can see if I'm understanding this correctly, the two of you want me to have sex with Caden for the sake of station morale?"
"Yes,"
they chorused in unison. "This is ridiculous. You," she pointed an accusatory finger at Morgan, "I expect this sort of thing from Griff. I expected better from someone of your years and supposed wisdom." Griff, at least, had the decency to look somewhat embarrassed. Morgan did not. "And you are both out of your minds. For one, my sex life..."
"Lack of,"
Morgan cut in. "Is none of your business," Nyx finished with a glare. "And for another, even if I did sleep with him, it's not going to fix anything." She had an Amazon and 5 fugitives holed up in her station. 3 of the latter were elite fighters, 2 were teenagers, and all were bored out of their collective minds. The building of tensions was inevitable. None of it was the result of her sex life, or lack thereof.
"That's not exactly true," Morgan argued. "You're the guardian here, so your mood infects everything whether you wanted to or not. And Caden has a domino effect on everyone. When he's morose, it makes Tamron and Maruka cranky. When Tamron is cranky, her and Evra butt heads. When Maruka is cranky, Kalvar is constantly on edge. Therefore, everyone ends up in a vicious cycle of snapping at everyone else, and poor, easygoing Morgan is caught in the proverbial crossfire. Not to mention, Caden is no fun these days, and I miss my best friend. Conclusion, you should sleep with him."
"No."
"Why not? It's not like you haven't done it before."
He paused, considering her speculatively.
"You have done it before, right?"
"Not that it is any of your business, but yes, of course we have done it before." Morgan threw his hands up.
"Then what's the problem?"
"The problem," Nyx said, voice deadly calm because she was done with this conversation, "is that he hurt me. He abandoned me without saying goodbye, and then I find out he lied to me about my entire life, used me to hide potentially the most dangerous object in the known universe, and after all of that, I had to survive a bloody prison planet to get any answers out of him. Now he and his charming sister are more or less permanent guests in my home, and I am understandably pissed off about all of it. Frankly, I think I've handled the situation pretty well, all things considered. Only now everyone seems to think I should just get over it for the sake of everyone else's happiness." Nyx was practically shouting by the end of it, and they all heard the soft scrape of a boot sole on the top rung of the dense entrance ladder too late. Nyx had been so worked up she hadn't paid attention to the approaching figure, had noticed it only in a distracted way, like a fly buzzing somewhere in the back of her mind. Now that she paid attention to the station's senses, it was only too obvious who had approached. who was even now softly retreating back out of the den's entrance, disappearing through the station's library like he'd never been there. Caden. Mixed guilt and anger washed.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?